All right, what's going on, kinfolk? We back with another episode of Men and Mental. Hope you guys enjoyed. This is the intro, but I'm not going to waste too much time kind of rambling because this episode is already long, but hope you guys enjoy it. Yeah, so I guess we just jump right into it. So I know we had already talked, had a long conversation. Good?
Yeah. I was just trying to make sure it stayed right here.
No, it's all good. But we had already talked, had a long conversation. Before we jump into it, we can just kind of warm up with something. So I was having a conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
She had asked me this really weird question,
mm-hmm.
right? It was like, how do you know if we see colors the same?
Oh, wow.
A very weird question. So I was like, to me, it was like, oh, okay, because this is blue. Like, this is clearly blue. But she was like, what if it's not? What if I see red, but I was taught that my red is your blue?
Right.
So it's like, how exactly would we really know?
It's crazy you said that, because on social media, you remember that picture that was trending?
Exactly.
And it was like, what they say the colors was?
I think it was like blue and gold. Or
yeah,
or gold
and it was
and
like,
white.
For me, it was clear as day that it was,
right.
you know, what it was. But people are like, no, I see this. And I'm like, how? Like,
exactly.
How do your eyes see another color?
Exactly. So it made me think. I was just like, man, that'd be crazy if everybody just seen the world differently.
Different. But it's crazy you said that, because I think everybody does see the world different.
Right.
But not in a color perspective. I think just based off of, you know, their mindset and how they think, how they feel, and their perspective. Like, you will be surprised. I was at an event actually in the summer, and the guy who event it was, he was like, everybody closed their eyes, and he was like, everybody point. I think he said west, or maybe he said north. And, you know, everybody was pointing, and when everybody opened their eyes, everybody's hands was like, different directions and stuff. And he was like, you know, nobody's wrong. You know, that's just the direction that you felt that this location was. So it really just woke me up like, wow, everybody, you know, you could be sitting next to somebody and have a whole different outlook on life.
Yeah.
On what you see based off of what you believe.
Why do you think that is? Is it mostly experiences or just the mindset? Why do you think people have different mindsets?
Definitely your upbringings, but also your mindset for sure. You know, when we talked in our previous conversation, definitely your upbringing, because what you're like, how you're raised creates habits.
Exactly.
And different things like that. And you don't really start thinking on your own until you're like 18 or older, you know, depending on your household. But, you know, once you get out into the real world on your own, that's when you start to pick up your own beliefs and your, you know, like for me, there's habits that I like that I'm trying to break as a 25-year-old woman, you know. So I think that really plays a huge part in it.
No, I agree with that. So I'm going to ask you a question. I was on the way over here, right?
Okay.
And in my head, I have this song in my head. And when I replayed the lyrics, I was like, okay, this is an issue.
Okay.
At the end of the day, this is an issue. So it's the song Teach Me by Music Soul Child, right?
Okay.
First line is, I was told the true definition of a man was to never cry.
Mm. So,
okay, right? I was taught that, whatever. But the issue started to become when... Let me go back to it. Say, I keep my feelings deep inside. But the basis of the song is to telling the woman to teach me how to love.
Mm.
Right? It's like, show me the way to surrender my heart.
Wow.
Right?
I'm going to have to go listen to that.
So it's like the idea that men need to be taught by their significant other or just a woman in general of how to love or how to show emotion, that kind of creates the problem, because we never go to another man and ask, like, you know, how can we do it, right?
Right, right.
Why do we always feel the need to have to lean on the woman to have to do that?
That's good. And it's actually, that's a good topic, because I feel like a lot of conversations that I have with other women, they feel as if like that's the biggest thing when dating or being in a relationship. Like the man doesn't come already, like, you know, emotionally healthy or like whatever the case might be. So they're solely dependent on this woman to teach you. And it's like, you know, you should have already, you know, been taught that, you know, like you shouldn't come into relationships like, I don't want to say being raised. But, you know, like, certain things your mom should have guided you or your father should have guided you. Like, it's crazy you said that, because I was talking to this guy once. I mean, we were just having conversations, and I noticed, like, the lack of, you know, his father being in his life, it really played a huge part.
Right.
And, you know, he was just opening up and venting one day because he had an encounter with another man. It wasn't his father, but just another man figure in his life. And it's just certain stuff that he was putting him on game with. And it's like, wow, like, imagine if you grew up with that guidance. Like, imagine if you already had that going into relationships or, you know, friendships or whatever the case might be. So right. that's really crazy. Yeah. And like you say, like, that artist is a grown man. A grown man who's probably been in multiple relationships. And he already said it, like, you know, and I think that that stigma of men that can't be emotional, can't cry, like, that's just crazy.
No, it's actually insane. And yeah. I agree with that. And the idea of, you know, having the proper guidance is very important mm-hmm. because when I say proper, I mean a person can be there and it still not be the proper guidance.
Yeah, say that.
Right? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think, you know, with our generation and us coming up, and what I try to preach is that we have to learn how to effectively talk to our kids and mm-hmm. understand that a parent can be wrong.
Yes.
Right? Very you know, much. And a child can be right.
Yes.
Right. We have to communicate certain things. So we give them the proper guidance of how to effectively communicate and mm-hmm. how to effectively show their emotions right. without us giving us pushback. Right. Like right. if I was highly upset as a kid, you know, sometimes, you know, emotions overwhelming. You may yell, you may scream.
Right.
I can't imagine screaming at my mom. Right. It's not right. like I'm screaming with intent to be mean or anything, right. but I'm just overcome with certain emotions. Right. Yeah. And that's going to lead down a point of don't yell at me, like, don't talk back, don't do this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, damn, now I feel restricted.
Right. Like, but the thing is, those same adults that are like that with their kids, they have those same habits and reactions in their relationship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people are so quick to, you know, like you say, not allow their kids to express themselves or, you know, be vocal about how they feel. But the parents, because, like, we're 25 or, you know, you're 27, we have friends that have kids.
Right.
And we see how they act in their relationship. So it's like, you know, like, now that I'm older, I realize, like, parents are just, you know, adults that are still growing and trying to figure out life, you know. So right. I feel like they should still have that same grace on their kids. And I know one thing that you said, you wasn't able to, you know, cry. Or as a child, you know, you grew up moving like that. Like, right. thinking that it's not okay for a man to feel like that. How do you feel as if that's, like, affected you as a man?
Oh, absolutely. So from my perspective, it's like, if I was to cry now, I'm mm-hmm. probably gonna boohoo cry,
right?
Like,
you know what I mean? Because
exactly, because right. I just never knew how to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, crying has different levels to it. Sometimes right. people can just shed a tear mm-hmm. and know how to effectively show that emotion, right? I was never taught that. So mm-hmm. it's like, if I'm gonna cry, I'm just gonna go ahead and cry. I'm gonna let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that's affected me in a big way in that regard. But it's also have made me, it's almost like an embarrassing feeling sometimes. Like, mm. if I'm crying in front of this person, I feel embarrassed. Like, I don't, it makes me resent
right.
a part of myself for even doing that, you know?
Because for opening up.
Exactly, because it just felt wrong,
right.
you know? So I'm obviously trying to adjust and learn that behavior is okay so that it doesn't carry that negative stigma. Like, it's right. okay to cry in front of your friends. Mm-hmm. It's okay to cry in front of the woman you love or the man you love, all of these things.
Right.
But, you know, some men carry that stigma that I'm not gonna cry, I'm gonna be tough. And then that the issue comes in that toughness when you're bottling those emotions. That's mm-hmm. when other stupid things start to happen. You start mm-hmm. to channel it through anger,
yeah,
rather than the proper emotional channel.
Emotion.
Exactly,
yeah,
you know. It. So you start to get mad. You start to yell. This is all of these emotions because you're failing to identify
really
the
cry.
Right. Yeah, you really want to cry, but instead you're suppressing it so bad that right. it's making you mad. You know what I mean? So,
and I feel like in relationships, that can lead to, like, resentment, you
exactly.
know, which leads to bigger issues.
Exactly.
But I feel like on the other end, too, like, women, we're taught to, you know, put our emotions on the table.
Right.
It's sometimes, like, we could be too emotional. Like, I have to catch myself. Like, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're acting out of your emotions instead of thinking logically right now, you
right.
know? So it can go both ways.
No, I agree. I just think between men and women that it needs to be a healthy balance.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, a man can't always be logical and yeah. a woman obviously can't always be emotional.
Right.
At some point you got to meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have friends that have issues showing, like, emotion, right?
Yeah.
Like, for an example, one of my friends, he sometimes have like different issues, right? And mm-hmm. I can just remember asking him, like, you know what I'm saying, bro, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same response. Yeah, bro, I'm gonna be good. When it's like reality, bro, it's like, if that was me, I'd probably be fucked up.
Right.
Like, come
right.
on, bro. Like, but it's like, it's one of those things that you can't really push,
because mm-hmm.
it's like, if you push too hard, that's where the resentment comes in.
Right.
And that's going to happen with friends, too.
Right.
A friend is constantly always in your business or constantly doing this, you're probably going to resent them and stop telling mm-hmm. them things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think the idea, it should be, men should just know how to go to their friends for certain
yeah.
things, right? Because, you know, I'm going to come to my friends about anything,
mm-hmm.
same way I would expect them to them. But I think men should lead by example. and stop leaning on women to lead by the example. Like, we have to lead that example for ourselves. Like, the same way with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going through something, I'm going to know how to come to them. I'm going to cry, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that just gives them the idea that if this was them, they can come and they do the same thing to me, and we're going to be best friends at the end of the day. Right. You know what I mean? So it creates that healthy space. But, you know, being a kid, especially, you know, I'm a black kid, went to all black school, all that shit. You know, if a dude was crying in class, oh, he's
y'all
soft.
Go jaw him.
You know what I'm saying? We roasting him now. So
And kids are mean.
Oh, yeah, you know, as kids, we have no filter. We're going to roast. We're going to say all of these things. So we never created that safe space as kids.
Yeah.
Or even in our households, because it wasn't created there. So we just never had that safe space.
Right. And it's like when your household talks to you, and then you come to school and you're getting, you know, talked about and bullied or whatever, it's like a double negative.
Exactly.
Like, you know, so if you don't have that confidence within yourself or that mentality within yourself to just, you know, go beyond that, it's going to be a struggle for sure.
Always. And then, you know, we end up in a place like this where men just aren't effectively knowing how to communicate their emotions or how they feel. And we just stuck on this weird island that we have a boat to get off of that we just don't use. You know what I mean? So it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing. And a lot of people have different core reasonings as to why they're like that. Like, not everybody is because of their upbringing. Some people have problems as an adult. You know, they were raised perfectly, you know, healthy household. But then as an adult, you are hit with different things. And so now it's like a shift. But I don't know. What do you feel as if the thing, like, what do you think is necessary or is needed to actually cause that shift?
So I was literally just having this conversation yesterday because I've been thinking about this forever.
Okay.
So having this conversation yesterday with one of my friends, I was like, it would be a completely different scenario if schools, especially black schools, invested more into their school counselors.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I can't tell you if I've ever even stepped foot or even spoke to a school counselor, to be honest, regardless of what I was going through. Yeah. Like, even when I was in middle school, my grandmother passed away. I didn't speak to a school counselor. Yeah. You know, I could have been going through whatever, but this, to this day, in the schools that I went to, I do not know what the purpose of a school counselor was. Right.
And it's crazy you said that, because I was just talking about this because I was talking about it on a spectrum of, you know, preparing kids for real life, like after high school. The only time that we spoke with our counselors when we were about to graduate, and the only thing that they would be talking to us about is college, you know, and really not even really preparing you for college, but really just trying to get a basic understanding of, okay, what school do you want to go to?
Right.
Here's the steps. Boom, boom, pow. But nobody's asking, you know, do you really want to go to college, or, you know, what is it that you want to take up, or how do you feel? You know, are you prepared? How's your mental state?
Exactly.
You know, how do you feel? You know, so that's really, really good, because, yeah, I don't think I've ever been to my counselors. I don't think anybody's been to a counselor.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, not that I, none of my friends.
Nobody.
Nobody.
I asked plenty of people yesterday, and it was like, nah, I didn't even. Some people was like, I didn't even know we had school counselors.
You know. And that's the thing. I didn't even think, you know, I'm going through something at home that I have
a resource
at school, yeah, to actually go to. It's like, oh, you're just a counselor, like, for school, I guess. Like, who are you counseling? I don't know.
Like, it's so. That's literally a solution that I could see being effective, especially kids in school, because, you know, I can remember walking down the halls. You can almost effectively see who could possibly be going through something, right? Some people just look a little sad.
Clear as day.
You can tell, just, you know, if this kid doesn't, you know, dress a certain way, you may seem something may be wrong at home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or you're looking in the lunchroom, this kid's not really eating. Like, there's so many things as an adult that,
so
you know, me,
clues.
I'm 27, I can see it.
Yeah.
So, it, like, I know you
I know
can
you
see it.
I know you can see it, for
so
sure.
This is where you're able to reach out to this kid.
Yes.
Just not even just to ask him, like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You just not ask him how he's feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just create that relationship.
Exactly.
So where they can trust you, to where it gets to a point where,
exactly,
okay, now, you know, we've had conversations, you care.
Exactly.
And now I can actually come to you and confide
exactly.
in you on what
you've
I'm
also created that healthy space for them to know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So when they go home, they can teach their parents. Because like I said, it's always a teaching moment for parents to teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for a kid to just know something they've never been taught.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They've never been shown.
Exactly.
Which is that it creates that toxic environment at home because mm-hmm. Like if your parents weren't taught, you weren't taught. They can't teach you. You can't teach them. And then it just continues to happen over and over. It's a cycle,
for sure.
You know what I mean?
I feel like there's a lot of things that, you know, I wasn't taught that I taught my parents.
Right.
So it's definitely, yeah, that's real. But you have to be willing to just say, like, forget, you know, what I was taught. Like,
right.
Or what I wasn't taught. Like, don't fall victim to that.
Right.
But actually, like, create victory through it by just searching that information on your own. Because you have access to it.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out, you know, where it's at, where the knowledge at. So, that's definitely cool. And it's crazy you said about school because I can just even remember me, like, I was going through different stuff. And, you know, other kids, you tend to act out when, you know, you're going through stuff. And the adults, I don't feel like... I think that's where it comes with you have to be passionate about what you do.
Exactly.
Like, there are some teachers and even principals or coaches or whatever that are just there just to be there, you know, for the pay or just to say they got a job or whatever. But when you're really passionate about what it is that you do, it's like it shows.
Right.
It really does. And I've had teachers where it's like I could talk to them, you know, I could talk to them about different things. But then I had other teachers where, you know, I might have acted out, had an attitude or whatever. And they're just like, oh, no, I'm going to call your mom or I'm going to do this. And da, da, da. And it's like, if you were just listening, you know, it's a reason that this is happening, you know. And me personally, like in high school, I was that type of person where I always just wanted to motivate people and just inspire and help people out. So there were different organizations that I was a part of where I did pour into my class and people at the school or whatever. And, you know, I will have conversations with certain kids. Like, I was, you know, a popular kid, but I never, like, used it to my advantage to think that I'm better than the other person.
Right.
So I pretty much was like, you know, yeah, I'm popular, but shoot, like, I'm the same type of person. I'm human just like you are, you know? So, like, a lot of people that were getting bullied or did feel less than, like, I was cool with them, you know? You know, like, I connected with a lot of different people. So I think that that's important, like, people who really can, like, make that shift, not leave it up to, like, adults or people that are older than you, you know?
Right.
No matter your age, you can still, you know, leave an impact and actually, you know, create that change.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%. So how do you think we break the stigma of therapy in the Black community?
That's really good. That's really good. Wow, because even for myself, you know, like the prior conversation that we had, I actually am interested in having a therapy. I wouldn't call myself crazy or, you know, that I'm just about to, you know, create harm to myself or others. But, you know, I go through real life issues. Like, life happens and it happens on a daily basis. And a lot of times you can't control how it happens or when it happens. And, you know, I do have people that I can talk to, but a lot of times you need to talk to someone who's not biased or someone who's actually professional and, like, they're skilled to actually get that out of you, you know? But I think to create that change, I think really just start having conversations. Like, with a lot of different things, people are more open and willing to do stuff when they actually see, oh, this is normal.
Right.
So we have to, in the Black community, we have to create that feeling of it being normal. We have to actually speak on the benefits of it, you know, because a lot of people take therapy, they just don't speak on it.
Right.
So if a lot more people are, you know, more open about it and the impact that it does have, you know, then I really feel like people will start taking it serious and see that it's not something that crazy people do, you know?
Right. So the only issue that I could see, like, mental health in the Black community presented, especially in, like, low-income communities, is that, going to therapy, it costs.
It's expensive.
There's a cost to it. Yeah, and that's an unfortunate thing because it's like,
and insurance doesn't cover it.
Yeah, it's like, that's a crazy-ass thing because it's like, damn, people can really be out here going through things and want to seek the proper help.
Yeah.
But can't because they can't afford
it. They can't afford it. Like a lot of different things.
And it's just crazy to me because it's like, damn, just because if something was to happen, like drastic, you'll be quick to toss them in a mental hospital or something, right?
Yeah.
You're quick to throw them in there.
Yeah, or quick to say, you know, like if someone does do self-harm or whatever the case might be, then you want to throw out, oh, well, you got these resources, call right. this number, call this. But it's like, where are the people that, you know, I feel like people should take that stand, whether you're offering free therapy sessions or something. And I think they do have those types of things out there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of resources yeah. for people to get started in some type of therapy.
Yeah, but I wonder how deep that gets.
Yeah, I wonder how like, long-term that is.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, in this world, it's a money game for everybody.
I agree with that. And it's just like mental health doesn't stop after like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't stop after one or two sessions, right? Yeah. Some people may need therapy for 2 years, three years, four years. You know what I mean? Yeah. For the rest of their life. Who knows? But how long do these programs last for people to benefit that, you know?
That's good. Yeah.
So.
And that's why I'm not even going to hold you. Like, even with my platform on Instagram, which I need to get back to doing. But that's why, you know, I was willingly, like, you know, just pouring into people, like right. motivating people. Because whether people believe it or not, and I speak on it all the time, when I used to make my Motivational Monday videos, it was really to help me.
Yeah.
But in a way, it helped other people as well. Like right. all the stuff I spoke on, I experienced it, I dealt with it, or was going through it. So it's like, this is what I need to do to get out of this. So let me actually, you know, share this information because I know it's going to help somebody. Even if it's one person, it's going to help somebody.
Right.
So, you know, again, like, I don't know. I feel like the resources should definitely be, like, changed to where, you know, because, like, it's expensive, you know?
It is expensive, yeah.
And like you say, within the Black community, a lot of the things that we do need is out of reach.
Yeah.
Because money is the issue for a lot of people.
Right.
For sure. Because I feel like if it was free. And if it was available and at the fingertips of our people, a lot of people would take advantage of it. Yeah, for sure. So I wouldn't say that we just don't do it because we don't want to. But, you know, it's just not a resource that's really available.
Right. And that's an unfortunate thing. I just had a thought in my head and I lost it just that quick. But, yeah, I know I agree with that. The Black community just has it's like you said, it's just people look at it like, oh, people are crazy. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to therapy. You need to go mm-hmm. talk to someone, blah, blah, blah. Okay, my thought just came back. I think it'd be good if, you know, us as a community can create that safe space within ourselves, even if, you know, encouraging there to be more Black therapists, because there's really not.
Wow.
I think it's like only 2-3% of the Black therapists in the world or in the United States or something like that.
Wow. But and I'm not going to lie, for me, I would want a Black therapist.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. So it's even bad. Like, you know, if you go and search on the computers, like, you know, Atlanta therapist, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be white people, maybe.
Right.
Who knows, right? So I literally, like, when I went to therapy, I literally had to search Black therapist Atlanta, you know? I have to search that.
Wow. Because it's something, not just popping
it's
up.
It's just not popping up.
Yeah.
You just don't see them like that, you know? So you have to search for it. You have to go and look, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, therapy.
Research.
You know, whereas in therapy in other cultures or in other races, mm-hmm. they could probably just search therapy Atlanta or therapy wherever they live and mm-hmm. pop up to
and
somebody
find a match
just that quick. Yeah. You know, it's just not that easy for us.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, because and I have nothing against like white therapists, but it'd mm-hmm. be hard for me to try to explain my culture and how I came up and the way that I see things to a person that just can't see things the way I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not gonna work.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like going to therapy and trying to explain, you know, a race issue or the way that I brought up or the way that I view things as a Black man to a white person is like,
they're not gonna understand.
You may have like a general topic of it, but I'm not here for general shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a core problem.
Yeah,
for real. This is deep.
This is something deep.
Yeah.
I ain't here for general shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So, and that's the issue. So, I think it'd be good. Like the same way you reached out to me on Instagram, say, hey, I want to be on a mental thing. It's like, cool. I want to create a space where people can feel as though they can go to anyone of their culture and have a conversation about mental health, whether it be man or woman, you know? And that's the idea that I want to create. Mm-hmm. Like we all should be able to talk to each other. Like, if I'm walking down the street right now and I see somebody on the side of the road crying, I'm probably going, what the fuck going on?
No, that's me.
I'm gonna be concerned. Like, damn, I feel like I gotta pull over.
That's me.
You know what I mean?
Sure. And I'm talking to anybody.
That's that empathy we all need to have for each other. It's like, man, you see this person going through something, this ain't the time to clown them or call them crazy. It's like this person may have real life issues that's affecting them.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like it's tough in the Black community. In some regards, like with like suicide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's very tough to hear about certain suicide stories, and especially when parents come out and speak about them. It was like, you know, oh, this person was never like that. I never would have expected this. And sometimes you could be right, but in other times there were signs that people just missed. They just fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You may it could be little things too, like this person isn't really eating that much at dinner, or mm-hmm. this person just constantly seems to be a little quiet today.
Or sleeping a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many signs that people just kind of just miss.
Yeah. And like you have parents that are like, oh, they just always on their phone. They just always in their room, you know.
Right,
or you know, you need to eat. Why you don't? And it's like you're coming at them in an attack type of way.
Exactly.
Instead of like, okay, I'm seeing a change. Let me see what's really going on.
Exactly.
And remember how I told you I lost someone to suicide, a close friend. And this person was, you know, showing a lot of signs. Like, I wasn't even around this person that much. And I knew, like, something is wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, every time I'm around that individual, I would... You know, I would literally be like, you know, you good? Like, what's going on? Like, really just not pressuring them to really just talk about the business or what they're dealing with, but just, like you say, creating that safe place.
Exactly.
Like, you know, we can talk. I understand. It's a no-judgment zone. And it was so many signs, but their family would just be like, you know, oh, they always on drugs. They always doing this.
Right.
They crazy. They're lazy. Da, da, da. And it's like, it was signs after signs after signs. Y'all just ignored them. And the crazy thing to me is nowadays it's kids that are committing suicide. Like, you got 7-year-olds committing suicide. And it's like, when I was 7, I don't even think I knew what suicide was.
Right.
You know, so we're exposed to so much nowadays with social media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's at the tip of our hands where we see so much. And I think that plays a huge part as well. Like, a huge part in how these kids are, like, interpreting life.
Yep.
And now, again, you have parents that are ignoring those signs. So it's like, you're 7 years old feeling like you don't want to be here.
Yeah, and that's an insane thought to be 7 years old and think that.
Yeah, because as a kid, me, 7, baby, I would, you know, there were times I was angry, upset, probably wouldn't run away. You know, I got a whooping, you know, whatever the case might be. But never had the thought of, like, dying, you know, or causing harm to myself. So it's really crazy.
That entire thought is just
insane.
And the unfortunate part, so I was reading like this little article about black males committing suicide. It's a higher rate now. Yeah,
like
it's a super high rate.
Super high,
So I'm reading like this full article, and one of the unfortunate things about suicide is that when somebody plans to commit suicide, they almost always follow through.
Wow.
Right? And at that point, they're not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
They're like, once they have that plan and they're going to follow through with it, they're not going to tell anyone.
Right.
So obviously, you know, it's going to kind of catch everybody by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't catch them by surprise. They had already thought about it.
They
went through a situation.
Mm-hmm.
They bottled a lot of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. So it's almost unfair for people to come out and be like, oh, he was never like this.
Right. Because they was.
This person obviously got led down this way somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Because I don't think, like you say, so it doesn't happen overnight. Like, oh, I'm sad today. I'm going to do this thing tomorrow. No, like, it's over time for sure. And that's why, like, even me, like, I'm always praying for my people, like, those internal battles that they don't speak on. Because we all have internal battles
we
don't, you know, speak on all the time. So that's the biggest thing for me, like, if anybody's dealing with something internally where they don't speak on it, like, I really pray, like, that you can find a way out of that, because it's more so mental.
Mm.
You know, you're at a battle with yourself. The mind is so powerful.
No, absolutely. And then, like you said, the idea should just be to always create that
safe
space.
Place.
So a while back, one of my friends had lost his mom. Or whatnot, right? And I knew for me, I was like, man, if I lost my mom, I would be distraught.
For sure.
But he's a strong guy, and, you know, he really held it together. But I was concerned for that at the same time, because I'm like, yo, this...
You holding it together too good.
Like, this is like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
a little weird,
You ain't even, like, really going all out or nothing, because if that was my mom, my eyes would be
turn this thing up.
For sure. So it wasn't a matter of me just always, like, asking him, is he good, or, hey, bro, you want to talk? It was just a matter of me just being there. Just like, I'm going to come over to the house a little bit more often now. You know what I mean? I'm gonna just be in your space, so you know that if you want to cry or if you want to talk about something,
I'm right here.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy you said that, because one of my friends just lost her mom, her grandma, and her sister just passed away yesterday.
Good Lord.
And this is all in a matter since December. And I remember when her mom passed away, it's like, you know, we are quick to text people or call them, like, you know, I'm here, I'm praying for you, I'm here. But it's like, I don't want to hear that when I'm going through it. Be here.
Yeah.
Show me, you know, like in that certain situations, you have to put forth the action. So like for me, you know, it's like, because I know how I felt when I lost, you know, my loved ones, my friend, my brother, my grandma, back to back to back. The people that were physically there, it really meant a lot. Like, yeah, you can send me a text, like you going to pray for me, let you know if I need anything. If I need something, I'm not going to hit you up. No. Like, I'm not thinking about doing that, you know, because when you're dealing with those emotions, you're not, the last thing you want to do is ask or beg somebody to do something for you. Like, you should want to do that. So for me, I took it upon myself, you know, like, I text her, what do you need? Like, what's your favorite snacks? And I went to the grocery store, you know, bought all the snacks, pulled up on there, you know, just gave her the snacks. And it would, or it'd be times we just sit in a room. We ain't even got to talk, you know. I'm on my phone, you on your phone. But I'm here. Like, I'm here. If you know, I'm here. Or, you know, we rode around in a car and just drove around and just talked.
Yeah, because sometimes people just need that presence.
Yeah.
To not, so they don't know that, so they don't feel alone.
For they don't, exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Not always the case that people just need somebody to talk to. Yeah. Sometimes people just need somebody to be there in their space, just around. So if they look around the room, they can see that they're not alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's a different ballgame when you're going through it. And you just see four walls and you just by yourself.
Yeah, like, that's when shit hit the fan.
Yeah, and it's like, that's when your thoughts get to going crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that that's something that we should do better as too, as people. Like, instead of just saying we're going to, or, you know, just texting people, I'm going to pray for you and stuff like that. And then 9 times out of 10 when you say that, you don't pray for the person because, you know, you don't do it at that moment. The day goes by.
It's
like
a figure of speech almost.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in my prayers and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's something I challenged myself to this year. Like I told myself, I want to be more intentional with what I believe and how I want to move. Mm. Like I had a friend that was in the hospital recently. You know, I text her, like, praying for you, whatever. I said, you know what, girl? Let me know when I can call you.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually going to call you and pray with you on the phone, you know, instead of me just saying I'm going to pray for you. Right. And that actually, you know, helped her a lot. And I wasn't doing it for recognition or nothing like that. But I just want to be more about my word. Like, I want to put forth the action about behind what I say. So I feel like we should just challenge ourselves to do that. Like, be more present with what we say with the people that we love.
Absolutely. And I can agree with that more. Now, we can kind of change topics a little bit. But so when it comes to relationships, man and woman, or however.
Yeah, however the case might go.
You know, a lot of times the emotional piece doesn't come until later, right? You obviously go through a little dating phase.
Probably gonna,
you know what I mean? It's going to be really good.
Real cute.
Like 4 or 5 months, 6 months, you probably invested. You're probably telling each other you love each other by this point, whatever, right? At what point... So let's say you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
6 months go by, it was great.
Right.
Things start to get emotional. And you start to realize that the guy that you have gave your time with for the last 6 months just isn't really that much of an emotional person. Like this guy just can't communicate it. And you, it's like, damn, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
So what happens then?
Wow. wow. From experience. Again, like women, we are just naturally nurturers. Like we want to help people. We want to help build you up. We want to be there. We want to, you know, help you unpeel those layers. We want to, you know, we're willing to put in the work. Like a real woman gonna do that. You know, if you love somebody, especially like you say, you don't invest all this time, energy, and emotions. You know, I'm willing to meet you halfway. I'm willing to help you. You know, learn this, whatever. Do I agree with that? Not so really, because now you find yourself in a position where you're giving this person an excuse to a certain degree to like, oh, they don't communicate because they wasn't raised like that. And then you find yourself down the line, like years down the line, and nothing is changing.
Yeah.
And this person is just kind of comfortable. Now, you will have some people that will grow with you, you know, and change because, you know, that's what they want to do and that's what's needed to do. But then you have people that get comfortable in who they are and the fact that you still love them as who they are. They're not willing to change who they are because, hey, this you here. Like,
100%.
You're still present. So why would I change?
Right.
I heard a man in my college class, we was talking about, I forgot what we was talking about. We was talking about coexisting before marriage, you know, and this was a grown man. He was old, actually. Very, very older, like probably in his 50s or something. And this man literally said, you know, because we was talking about, you know, why a lot of times when you are coexisting, why don't the men make that move? Like, a lot of times you have people that are living together for 10 plus years and marriage isn't even a topic, you know?
Correct.
And this man literally was like, well, if you get, what he said, if you got the cow, why milk it? Or why buy the cow if you already got the milk? Something crazy. But basically, like, if I already have all the benefits, I'm getting the marriage treatment, why put a ring on it, you know? And that really woke my game up, because it's like, wow, you do have a lot of people that are comfortable with who they are. They're not willing to change. So even in that situation, I really feel like, you know, like, women really should just be very, like, aware of those signs. Be aware. And I won't even call it a red flag, because, you know, we all got room for growth. But be aware of those signs and just take note, like, okay, is this person changing, or is this just, like, a constant thing? Because at that point, then, that's just who you is, and you have to make that decision if that's something you want to deal with or not. You know? So, I don't know. It gets tricky out here.
It does. It does. So, here's the way that I would look at it. Like, so I know for me, I have certain emotional needs now, right?
For sure.
Like, 100%. I know that coming into the gate, the minute I'm going on a date with someone, I'm going to communicate that effectively up front.
Up front.
You know, I'm just tell you exactly how I am. We're going to talk about love languages. We're going to talk about all these things, because I need to know if we're going to be compatible or we're not. At the end of the day, like, you know what I mean? I'm just going to be straight up with it, you know? So I think for women, I think it'd be good, just my opinion, if y'all challenge the men that y'all decide to go on a date with. Like, challenge
them. Ask them questions
that most motherfuckers should know. Like, ask, if you, if I ask somebody, what is your love language? And you like, I don't know. It's like, why are we even here then? Why are we even here?
How you looking for love and you don't know your love
language?
What
are we doing here?
Like, so you need to go figure out you.
Go figure that out.
And love yourself.
And then we can probably
you know make this thing work.
So I feel like you guys should challenge the men to really be able to effectively communicate what they want
in the gate, because, like, if you got a woman that's like, this what I, this what I'm looking for, this what I need, this what I'm expecting,
and the majority of the time that's how women come in,
and you gotta, you gotta come with that approach and meet those standards, or if not, you already know what type of game it is. It's a wrap. So yeah, definitely. And it's crazy because I'm 25. I haven't really dated. We kind of talked about this, but I haven't dated as an adult, because I've been in a, I was in a relationship since I was 18 years old, you know, going into my adulthood. So a lot, like, I'm not the 18 year old me that I, like, I'm not that same girl, you know, I'm a woman now, you know, I've evolved. So now, you know, look, my whole outlook on relationships is that, you know, really getting to know people, like, up front and setting the tone, setting the standards. But it really starts with you. You got to love yourself. You got to be happy within yourself. You got to have peace within yourself. If not, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
It will not work.
Absolutely. And I tell my homies that all the time. So my homies, he's in a relationship too. Well, a couple of them are. And, you know, I normally ask them, like, if they're going through something with their lady and whatnot, they kind of break it down to me. He can say something like, oh, I don't feel like she's really doing the things that I like, or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, have you really effectively communicated it to her?
Yeah,
like,
communication, you know,
like, yeah, it's like, if you haven't really effectively communicated it to her, you really can't blame her for
you
that.
Can't.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand. And that's like that mental struggle in men. Like, we always, we have like these thoughts of like hidden expectations, right?
But I think women is the same way.
Yeah, in a sense. I think all of us may have a certain common sense of expectations. Like, I expect you to do that. I shouldn't have to communicate this, right? But the way men is like, we have like these wild thoughts, like, motherfucker, I want you to do this this way. You know what I mean? But we don't even say it. We just expect it, right? Or it could be a situation where the woman could have did it a couple times, and then you place that expectation in your own damn head. And then even tell her, like, oh, I really like that. I like the way you do that. You know what I mean? But then it's just, it becomes a problem just when they stop.
But you didn't communicate.
You didn't even communicate.
And I know, like, for me, I had a little issue with that. I be thinking that people can read my mind. And it's like, in my mind, you should know that. Like, you should know better. You should know, like, what are you doing? And it's like, that's not reality. Like, and then too, we're not robots. The way, you know, I did a certain thing, like you said, you got to speak on it so I can know if that's what you like or if that's what you don't like, whatever the case might be. Communication is definitely key, but I think understanding is bigger too, like, because you could communicate something with somebody all day, but if they don't understand where you're coming from, that communication really don't serve it no purpose.
Right.
You know how we talked about too, like, because a lot of time people communicate to try to be right or wrong. It's not about being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally coming to a common ground. Like, okay, this is how you feel, and this is how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I respect how you feel. I don't want to change how you feel. I respect it. And just moving off of that.
Right. And, you know, all of it just goes back that as men, we have to stop putting that expectations on our women.
Yeah.
In terms of teaching us how to be us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we as men need to learn self-love for ourselves.
Because I think it's important for a man to lead, too. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Me, personally, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, the ideal husband is a man that can literally lead me. Like, you know, of course I want my man to learn from me too, but I really want a man that can lead.
Right.
You know, like, so you have to come already, you know, yeah, loving yourself and at peace and stuff so you can lead the house.
Yep. And the heart, another heart piece to that perspective, mm-hmm, is social media, mm-hmm, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because we have, it's some wild ass men out here in
it
the world.
Is some, like, oh, wild, yeah, ass trust men. Me, I know.
And there's certain other men that look up to these men. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. So I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
I'm listening to this podcast. I don't even like this podcast.
Okay.
Came across my TikTok page, right?
Okay. I love TikTok.
TikTok's amazing.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's on a panel with, you know, I think like 7 women, two or three other guys, something like that. He said the most wildest statement to me. Okay. To the point where I could have flown to wherever the hell they were at and just smacked them upside the head because the shit was that stupid. But right. He had said that, first he said that a queen can't be a queen without a king, right? And I was like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also said that a woman can't know self-love until a man loves her first.
What?
Literally his words.
That's crazy. I wonder who taught him that and why. I think he might be a little hurt or something.
That's when I listen to these men, that's what I always assume.
Yeah, I assume, like, when people say crazy stuff like that, I really feel like it comes from a place of hurt. Like, when you don't allow people to be individuals within themselves, like, to say a queen can't be a queen without, you know, a man or whatever, it's like, no, you should want your woman to be her within herself.
Right.
And you should just be a plus to that, you know, but I think that definitely comes from a place of hurt. We should fly out and ask them, like, where does this come from?
Like, why is that even a thought that a woman can't know self-love without a man? Because then, you know, if I'm on a panel like that and I hear some wild shit like that, mm-hmm, the first question out of my mouth is like, okay, well, how the fuck is a man going to know self-love then?
Yeah.
Like, you, a lot of these guys, they try to give the man the regard that we're strong. We know this. The woman needs us for this, right? Mm-hmm. But if we're looking at reality, men and women need each other for multiple reasons.
A lot of
reasons. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's not one more than the other. Like, mm-hmm, you want to have kids, you're probably going to need a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality.
Yeah.
Like, a woman should be able to love herself without a man, mm-hmm, the same way a man should.
Yeah, for sure. And it's crazy you said that because I was listening to Jada and Will's, Jada's Red Table Talk.
Yeah.
And Will was on there. We know them conversations
get a little crazy.
Yeah. But one thing that I did, like, really, really like that they said was, she was like, I don't look for Will for my happiness. Like, I don't lean on him to make me happy. I don't expect him to make me happy.
Absolutely.
You know, and she was like, we came to a common understanding, like, we can't depend on each other to make each other happy.
Absolutely.
You got to make yourself happy.
Yep.
And then me making you happy, that's just a bonus. Like, that's just a plus. Now you happy. But a lot of people, you know, go into relationships with that type of mindset that dude said on that podcast, you know, not really, like, thinking of self. You really just solely dependent on this person.
Yeah, exactly.
And now your happiness is in somebody else's hand. And it's like, so, okay, tomorrow you don't even know if you're going to be happy or not because you don't even know how this person going to be acting.
Exactly.
And that's completely insane to even think, like, no. And it's so crazy because I had a conversation before and I was like, you know, make yourself happy. Like, that's what top priority is you to make yourself happy. Figure out what you love. Figure out, you know, what brings you peace. Because if I'm attached to that, then I'm going to be happy anyway. Don't try to make me happy. Make you happy.
Yep.
And because we're connected and we're one, then I'm going to be good regardless because I'm attached to your happiness.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So I feel like people should look at it like that. Like,
no, for sure. So
even within relationships.
Absolutely. So I have a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell people, I was like, you're not here to make me happy. Yeah, you're here to be a part of my happiness.
Right.
Like, I'm already happy. Yeah, you're just a part of that.
For sure.
You know what I mean? You're not here to
and
make me happy.
People be so upset about that. Like, if they're not happy and you happy, they'd be like, what? Like,
like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, but yeah, for sure. You need to figure it out because, right. you know, because honestly, especially when you've gone through a lot of stuff that takes your happiness away or your peace, mm-hmm. People know it takes a lot of work to get to that place where Absolutely. You are happy with yourself and you are at peace. It's not easy work. People Absolutely. Think, oh, you're happy. Oh, that's simple. No, baby. It takes work, especially when, you know, life happens. So I feel like a person that's dating you or wanting to date you anyway, that shouldn't even be an issue. Like, yeah. You happy? Good, you know? I'm happy for you because, like I said, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. So right. I'm not negotiating my peace for nobody.
No, that's none negotiable.
It's a price that nobody can pay.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My peace is here to stay, and I put in a lot of work for it.
Right, for sure. Great conversation.
Well, something you said, too, with social media. So how do you feel like social media affects people's happiness and stuff? Like you mentioned, a lot of men look up to other men.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with relationships, how do you feel like social media plays a huge part with that?
Absolutely. People, so a lot of the idea of social media is that people are just going to post whatever they want to post.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to post everything. Mm-mm. They're going to literally show you what they want to show you. Mm-hmm. So that comes with the idea that somebody can appear to have a perfect life, mm-hmm. right? To be perfect, to be flashy, to be all of these things. And in reality, it can be a completely different way. Now, will we know that? No. Right. We'd only see it on social media. So, and this guy could be a really motivational guy, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, damn, I want to be like this guy. Yeah. And it's an unrealistic thing because that's not even how his life is in a reality. Mm-hmm. So it sets an unrealistic standard that you're giving yourself.
That's good.
That you want to live in reality, mm-hmm. but this guy's only living it on social media.
Right. And you're focusing on them instead exactly. of yourself.
Exactly.
So you're not even really improving in real life.
It's the same way that people, when they meet some of these celebrities and they find out these celebrities are sometimes rude, mm-hmm. it's like, that's reality. I know you see them on social media and think that's who they are, right. but that's not. They're bigger than that. Like right. There's something deeper than that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's crazy you said that because you mentioned, like, people look up to people, like, motivational or whatever, successful, whatever, and, you know, they think that that's it. And it's crazy because when I first started my Motivational Mondays, I actually was going through depression.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a very dark place. Yeah. And I continued because, like, for me, I felt like it was a part of my purpose.
Yeah.
Still is. So, it's like, it was kind of therapy for me to really just be moving in my purpose. But a lot of people did not know, like, I was in a very dark place. Right when I started my Motivational Mondays, I had just stopped playing soccer. So my whole identity was changing. Like, this is something that I grew up doing my whole life since I was 8 years old. So you got someone that's 8 years old to about 19 years old doing soccer. You know, like, I've had my dad's friends, like, where the soccer girl at? Like, people called me stuff like that because it was attached to my identity. So once I stopped playing soccer, you know, I used to just pray and, you know, like, you know, God revealed to me my purpose and different stuff like that. So when I started doing the speaking and the motivational talking and stuff, my videos, I lost one of my childhood friends and he was murdered. And so, you know, that was very, very hard. And I remember being at work. I was working at Chick-fil-A and it was a Tuesday and I didn't post on that Monday because my friend got killed on Sunday. You know, I don't want to be on social media.
Right.
And I went to work Tuesday just to get out the house. And I remember this guy came through the drive through and he was like, aren't you that girl on Instagram that be posting them videos? I was like, yeah. And he was like, so what happened yesterday? Like, he was really coming at me. And I was like, I'm going through something. No, I don't think I said I'm going through something, but I was like, you know, no, I did. I was like, you know, I just got some stuff going on.
Right.
You know, I didn't post yesterday. This man literally told me, he was like, girl, we don't care about that. And it really just woke me up. Not to say, like, you have to ignore your emotions, but in life, it is a good thing to be able to balance. Like, have that balance. Still show up. Definitely still show up. But still know, like, I can still grieve. I can still, you know, cope through my emotions and go through that. But it really just woke my game up, like, you got to prepare yourself because life happens. You can literally be walking in your, you know, your greatest blessings and everything that you prayed for. And then something tragic could happen.
Yep.
So what you going to do, fold? You going to stop doing what you're doing?
Yep.
No, you have to still show up. So I say that to say, like, social media, don't confuse it with real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, be you, be authentic in who you are, but still understand, like, a lot of the stuff that you see on social media is not what it is in real life. For and sure. For me, that's what it was. Like, yeah, I'm posting all this motivational stuff, but I really wasn't motivated in right. real life. And a lot of my message did speak on that, too. You know, like, I spoke on a lot of, you know, different things, real life stuff in regards to that. But a lot of people don't know how to differentiate the two. Like, you're just strictly focusing on what people are posting on social media. And now you're in a circle of comparison. Mm. And now you don't even know who you are. You're trying to be like them. And that's not even who they are. You just see a piece of their life.
Exactly.
Like, my Motivational Mondays was only a minute long.
Yeah.
That's before, you know, Instagram had the 3 minutes and the reels yeah. and all that. It was only a minute long. Yeah. You only getting a minute of my life.
Yeah, you don't know shit about me.
You don't
minute.
Know nothing about me or what I'm going through, baby. I yeah. could be sleeping outside. Yeah. You got, like, you really don't know. And that's one thing for me, too. Like, I see it. I even found myself comparing, you know, and focusing on social media, like, feeling like I'm not, like, damn, I'm not doing enough or, you know, I'm behind and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You really just got to focus on you at the end of the day, because social media is just that. It's 30 seconds of someone's relationship, a minute of someone's life. Mm. Like you say, people are not going to post the real stuff, yep. you know, and you don't have to right. post the real stuff. But just know it's an ad, man. It's an yeah. ad. It's not reality. End of
the
day.
You know, the biggest thing that I hate when it comes to social media mm-hmm. is that when celebrities or athletes or somebody of status or wow. money or whatever, they come out and they say they are struggling on some level of mental illness. Mm. And then people have this notion that, oh, you're rich. Why is this a thing? You know what I mean? It's like people, yeah. some equate like money. Kanye. Yeah, it's like exactly with Kanye, mm-hmm. right? Like, obviously, this guy is rich. Like, we all know that. Right. That doesn't excuse him from having mental issues right. or having, you know what I'm saying, certain mental breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's a human at the end of the day.
Yeah, and money don't stop that.
And that's, like, the craziest thing, because it's like, no matter what he does or says, like, obviously there's a reality to it. Like, we only see what he's going to show us mm-hmm. or what's on social media, but there's a reality to it, and we should have empathy to that.
Right.
And, like, we shouldn't be clowning him and saying he's crazy shit, you know right. what I mean? It's like, we're all guilty of it. I've done it before, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And it's like, now it's like, damn, if an athlete or somebody comes out and they say they're depressed, and it's mm-hmm. like, I can identify with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much money you have. There's yeah. reality. Like, this person could have lost someone, or he could just really just be depressed. Like, he just may yeah. not feel like himself. That's a very real thing. No matter how much money, can't change that.
Mm-mm. And that's why you see, you know, a lot of celebrities or people who are just successful. It ain't even got to be about a celebrity, because there's a lot of successful people that's right. not known. But that's why you see a lot of these people, you know, and people are questioning, like, oh, wow, how did this person overdose? Or how did this person kill themselves? Or how right. did this person, you know, go homeless and be, you know, strung out when they had everything? And that's the thing. Too many people focus on money.
Exactly.
And it's like, you're chasing the money and you're not even chasing everything else that's really going to help you.
Right.
Like, yeah. for me, I always tell myself, I don't want to be wealthy or where I want to be and still dealing with the same childhood trauma or, you know, internal trauma, internal battles or whatever that I was dealing with as a kid. That means I didn't grow at all. My bank account grew, but I right. didn't grow.
Exactly.
And to me, that's just the stupidest thing. It really is yep. because it's like, you got to take care of you. You know, I don't want to be wealthy and sad, depressed, angry, still reacting the same way, you know, bitter and all of that. No, right. I want to be wealthy all the way around. Like, I want to be rich in spirit. I want to be rich, you know what I'm saying, mentally and different things like that. The bank yep. account just going to be extra.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So that's really good that you said that. And I feel like that's why a lot of people who are successful, they don't even want to take that the proper steps to get the help, because mm-hmm. they already know what come with that. You yep. know, you're going to have a lot of people with backlash and stuff.
Yep.
I was at an event in the summer, same event, and what was her name? I forgot her name, but she was in some big group, I think with Beyonce, if I'm not mistaken. And she actually spoke on how she went through depression, or maybe it was suicide. I don't know, but she got checked into the mental hospital. Yep. Yeah, she got checked in, and one of the people that worked there actually leaked that information, which, you know, that type of stuff should be confidential. Absolutely. It's supposed to be. But you got people out here that do what they want to do. Mm. And they leaked that information. Now it was all in the blogs and stuff. And she said, like, that really made it worse, because it's like,
that no longer felt like a safe space.
Yeah, it wasn't a safe. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, when do you know, like, dang, is this a safe place? Like,
right.
how do you know?
Right.
How do you know if, like, this going to be it? Like, this going to work out for me? Because right. you just never know. People are evil out here. Like.
No, I completely agree.
You know, if this your job, you know what these people going through.
Yep.
So what makes it okay for you to, you know, put that information out there? People, social media is a drug. People want clout.
Yeah, that sucks that somebody would leak information like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they did.
Like, in a place
she,
like that.
Like, and she, it was to the point where I think she said she was about to, like, commit suicide. That's why she went. So imagine you at a very dark place like that, yeah, and now super. The whole world is, like, in your business.
Yeah, it's not even for the world to know.
Yeah, it's not. And that's why I think people, again, people need to be able to differentiate social media and real life.
Right.
Like, people real deal going through real stuff.
Yeah.
That don't mean you got to take it to social media, yeah. you know? So it's really, it gets tricky. It gets tricky. Social media is weird.
That's No, that's insane. I'm about to look that story up. I didn't know about that.
What's her name? Her last name is Williams.
Okay, I think I can find it.
Yeah, I'll figure out the name and let you know. But
sure.
her story was very, very powerful. I mean, now she's much better. Like, she's doing her thing. But even her, that's somebody who was very successful and kind of just went off the deep end, you know, because life happened.
Yeah.
And she said it was stuff from her childhood. You know, although I'm successful, I still got these demons and these battles that I'm still facing, you know. It doesn't go away when the money comes.
Nope.
It doesn't.
And it's another thing is some celebrities and some athletes, especially in the Black community. I only say some because it's not really the vast majority, is that a lot of times when they decide, when they get rich or they go to the NBA or the NFL or they do this or do that, they want to bring the whole hood with them.
Oh, yeah. That'd be the thing.
You know what I mean? And that's literally that tears apart a person's mental health.
Right?
Like, because when shit hits the fan and nobody's there no more, it's like, damn.
Let's talk about it.
You know what I mean? It's like, where everybody go?
Yeah. I'm happy I learned that at a very early stage within my journey, because I'm sorry. If you ain't put in the work, you're going to get left where you at. And it's with all due respect, like, very respectfully.
I didn't
ask to put that toll on myself. You got what I'm saying? Like, it's really crazy how people really expect you to take them with you to the top, but they didn't put in no work. They didn't support you. Like, they wasn't there, you know, and people shouldn't feel obligated to do so. Like, I love y'all. But, you know, hey man, say man.
Yeah.
And that goes for family too.
Absolutely. especially family. especially.
That definitely goes for family too. Like, woo.
It's like, I
don't know.
Growth don't mean I'm staying the same.
Yeah. Why do people
if I'm growing, that mean I ain't who I think who I used to be.
I'm not
a
little Tay-Tay from
you know what I mean? Like, I'm not that no more, you know? I'm 27.
Yeah,
I'm not 18-year-old Ken no more. I'm not 19-year-old Ken.
And that's what people have to realize. Yeah. I'm a whole different person. And if we not even on the same level, and I'm not even talking about financially, I'm talking about mentally, like, if I can't even sit down and have a conversation with you and pick each other's brains and stuff, nah, baby, I can't spend too much time with you.
Nah, like, I would even have, like, people from, like, my old high school be, like, telling people, like, oh, yeah, I know Ken. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't, baby. Because
you knew me.
You knew me.
I'm a whole different person, baby. You don't know me.
I'm a whole different beast.
I'm a completely different person than I was in high school. You know what I mean?
People be so quick to say
don't be sitting here lying like that. Like, you don't know me. You don't know nothing about me. Just knew me. You knew of me.
Yeah. People,
you know what
be
I mean?
Quick to hit you with that one. For sure.
Just because they see you leveling up, so they want to attach themselves to
that. Yeah, for sure. And even me, like, I got a lot of people that I grew up with that are very successful, you know? And it's just like, you know, I don't feel no type of way that, you know, you're not dragging me along with you, you know? Like, that would be very crazy of me to say.
Right.
So it is what it is. I'm just happy I learned that very, like, early on. Like, people be showing their ass.
Got it. So, final question before we get up out of here.
Okay.
So I've given my perspective in terms of the type of dad I would want myself to be versus what I didn't have, et cetera. So I'm gonna ask you, just from everything that you've learned and everything you're gonna continue to learn and know, just what type of mom do you aspire to be for your kids?
Wow. That's a good question. Oh, that's so cute. First of all, I aspire to be a mom. Like, that's something I look forward to.
Right.
Just to be able to just, you know, bring, like, I think it's so beautiful that women can produce life, you
know.
It's such a beautiful experience that I've seen my loved ones go through, and it's like, you know, when in due time, I'll be able to do the same. But for me, I really aspire to be that mom where, you know, my kids, like, I aspire to be the mom that can create that safe place. Like, yep. Really what we just talked about, you know, I'm not going to be my kid's best friend. Like, mm-hmm. We're not finna, you know, be on that type of level. But definitely want to be friends with my kids, like, to where they can talk to me and feel comfortable with opening up. And, you know, I really want to pour into my kids everything that I've learned, but be open to learning from my kids as well. Yeah, exactly. You know, like, if my kids, you know, I want my kids to be okay and be willing to speak up when they think that I'm wrong. Yep. And I don't want to, you know, feel guilty. Like, no, I'm the mama. I'm not wrong. You know, you listen to me. Like, no, I want that type of relationship for me and my kid. Like, and I'm the type of person where I like to ask, like, how you feel about that? You know, if I speak on something, you know, we good. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You know? And I really want to be, I aspire to be that mom to really just not be oblivious to the fact that they're a kid. Like,
yeah, of course.
Cause I know me as a kid, I had big feelings and big emotions, you know, as a child. And like, I'm always saying that they got emotions too. They got feelings too, you know, and that's where it starts. So really shaping my children from childhood on up, you know, to allow them to be themselves, to allow them to create their own, you know, identity, even if I don't agree with it.
Right, for sure.
You know, even if I don't agree with it, of course, because as a child, you know, there's things that we do want to do that's not okay. And I tell my mom all the time, I thank you for not allowing me doing this, because it was some very crazy stuff I wanted to do as a kid.
Right, for sure.
And I'm like, mama, thank you. Like, I know I didn't agree with it. I was very upset with you at the time. But, you know, thank you for being hard. So I'm not going to be that mom, you know, where I'm just going, okay, yeah, figure it out. No, there will be discipline.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there's different forms of discipline. And, you know, I definitely, at the end of the day, I want it to be in, like, communication to be included. Healthy communication.
For sure.
Healthy communication, to be able to express themselves in a healthy way, their emotions, you know, just their feelings, their wants, their needs,
right?
You know, and different things like that, and understanding their love language too.
Absolutely.
Like for me, I have, you know, a love language, and you know, like we spoke on, as a kid, I don't feel like my love languages, you know, were met completely in my household, and it doesn't have anything to do with my parents. Like at the end of the day, when I became an adult, I started to look at my parents as individuals and not just as my parents. Like, you have to start looking at people in different lenses. If not, you literally gonna box yourself in and chain yourself up.
Ooh.
Because if I just looked at my parents as my mom and my dad, yeah, there might be a little resentment. There might be a little anger, you know, there might be a little bitterness. So when I started to look at my parents as individuals, like, oh, wow, this is an individual that went through this and that lacked this and that as a kid. They were a kid before as well, and they didn't have that, you know? So once I started looking at them like that, it made me really understand my parents on a whole different level. And so I really want to, you know, view my kids as that too, like in different lens. Yeah, that's my kid, but it's a human being.
Yeah, it's an individual.
You know, it's an individual. So I think that's super important. Yeah, I'm excited.
That's an amazing answer. I just tell people that I want my kids to challenge the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, don't just challenge me.
Yeah, don't
challenge,
do that.
Challenge the world.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like your teacher said some shit wrong, ask.
Yeah.
Feel like your aunt said something wrong, ask. I want you to always have the ability to speak up and ask if you feel as though something is wrong. And
but just do it in a respectful way.
I always got to be respectful.
Yeah, for
and if I need to intervene, or if a teacher told my kid not to talk back, I'm coming to the school.
Yeah, we pulling up.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
coming to the school for sure. Because my child told me she asked you a very reasonable question that I thought was respectful, and then you telling them that they can't do that, we're not going.
Yeah,
for
we're
that.
Not doing.
We're
it.
Not going
because she got a voice. He got a voice.
Exactly.
For
every kid in this class got a voice, and should be able to ask you. And you should be able to be an adult and realize that you're talking to a child, and that you should be able to respectfully communicate what certain things are.
Yes.
Because this is an environment that I leave them in for 8 hours a day.
Okay. Yeah.
And if they're not getting what I feel is to be provided in this environment, we're gonna have some problems.
Because school definitely builds you know, it adds a lot to their who they become.
Right, because you know, you go to school, you see all kind of things. Like, you have a structure at home, but when you go to school and you talk to other kids, you start to realize that so much things are different in life, you know?
Yeah.
So now I'm not going for the my kids talk back. Nah, my kid's gonna ask.
Mm-mm.
I'm gonna answer respectfully, even if I don't like what they ask.
Yeah.
It's like they have a right to ask. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
because it was a lot of things, you know, as a kid that I challenged, you know, and a lot of adults would be, you know, would say like, I'm rude, yes, or I talk too much, or, you know, different stuff like that. By the way, I talk too much, but yeah, we get paid to do it now.
Right.
Anyways, no, for real, like one day my mom had to come to the school. The teacher, she said I talked too much. She put me isolated from the whole class near the air conditioning unit.
Right.
It's in the spring and I'm wearing bubble coats to school. My mama cussing me out like, why you got that coat on? I'm like,
right,
not trying to tell on the teacher. I'm like, it's just cold in the class. So my mama pull up unexpectedly and see me isolated. And she went off on a teacher like, you
absolutely
don't do that.
Absolutely.
Because as kids, that's just saying like a kid play too much. You're a kid. What do you expect them to do? You know? And that goes back to what I said. You know, people who are passionate about what they do and right, not. Because I had teachers that were very passionate. And they noticed, okay, Taylor is only talking because she completed her work. She's bored. She's a child.
Yeah, so
what am I going to do? I'm
going to
give her,
yeah,
I'm going to give her busy work. Let me let her grade the papers. Let
exactly
me run out on errands. Let me let her do this down the hallway.
Exactly.
I used to actually help the deaf kids and do sign language with them and stuff.
Exactly.
And that actually, you know, helped build my character.
Right.
You got what I'm saying? You're giving me roles to be a leader. You're teaching me those things instead of just yelling at me and,
right,
you know, putting me by the air conditioning unit. Yeah, it's just, yeah. So definitely, I definitely want my kids to, you know, challenge the world for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Don't let nobody quiet you, but do it in a respectful way.
We're not silencing voices around here.
Yeah, no. But definitely do it in a respectful way because me, we're going to take it there. When I was a kid, for sure, I'm going to take it there with you because I tried to be respectful.
Yeah, it's up now.
And now you tried to,
I'm going to tell my kid, you keep it respectful. If I got to come up and get disrespectful, I can do that. You just be respectful, you know? I can do the disrespectful part.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, my dad, he took it there. I didn't even call him. Like, we're not going to call Pops.
Yeah.
Because he gonna take it all the way there.
Yeah, exactly.
But for sure.
That's all good. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on the pod.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an amazing conversation. You could drop your Instagram so people can come and watch those Motivational Mondays.
Yes. So you guys can follow me on Instagram at Adora Taylor with two R's. Why? Because I am just too much.
There it is.
Yeah, and tune in and check me out.
Absolutely. Well, again, I thank you. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was real good.
Yeah.
And I hope it helps someone.
Absolutely. That's
for
always
sure
the purpose.
That's
well,
the
if
goal.
It's one person to 10 people, we're just always trying to help somebody.
Exactly.
But another thought, you definitely should start your own podcast. I feel like you'll be great at it.
So
we'll talk
y'all
more
stay
about
tuned
it.
Yeah, for sure. Stay tuned for that. This was really like a warm up. This really what I needed right here.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you, Ken. Keep doing what you're doing and keep impacting the world.
I appreciate it. We out of here, Ken Folk. Later.